Hello, listeners. You are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me, as always, live from Hampton, Maine, is my aunt, Beth Woods. How are we doing right now, Aunt Beth?
We are doing great. My dogs finally stopped barking.
They were now noisy.
Yes, they were loud. Oh.
We'll have to see if we can train them to be a guest on the show
at some point. Right.
We'll have to find some doggy pop culture.
Yes.
Now, so we are in the midst of part two of our best TV dramas of the 2010s episode. And yeah, so part two or part one dropped in your podcast feeds last week. So I believe this episode is going up on July 26th. And that's on a very important date around
it
here.
It is an important date, yes. I didn't realize that.
I think it's someone was...
Somebody was born alone.
On that day way back a few decades ago.
Just a few.
Yeah. Not too many.
No, we don't want to say how many.
Yeah, but we do want to acknowledge this is... very special day in That's Entertainment. It's the first time an episode is dropping on one of the host's birthdays.
Wow. That's right.
So, listeners, you have to... What's that?
That'll only happen twice if it happens on your birthday.
Yeah. Well, if we... And I get one the next time be that you drop your birthdays on a Sunday.
Oh.
Like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. But I'm thinking of yours, though. Yours is next, so.
Yeah, well, my birthday was on a Monday this year.
Oh, so it'll be a while before.
Well, maybe we'll record a special episode and post it whatever day of the week my birthday is on.
That's right.
So do you have any a special birthday request from our listeners?
Oof, I haven't thought of that. What they want to, let's see. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll have to think about it.
Well, I will make the request that someone leave us in a review on the podcast listening device of your choice, and it has to be a nice review.
Because it's my birthday.
Exactly. If it's a mean review, you have to wait until the 27th.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so on That's Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three Fs, first, favorite, and forever. And as this is part two of a two-parter, we've already done the first section, and we're in the middle of the favorite section. And that would be where we are doing our top 10 countdown of our favorite TV dramas of the 2010s. We've already gotten through numbers 10 through 6. That brings us now to number 5, and Aunt Beth's going to reveal her number 5 right about now.
Okay, number 5. Will is
missing. I don't know where he is.
99 out of 100 times kid goes missing, the kid is with a parent or a relative.
What about the other time?
What?
You said 99 out of 100. What about the other time? The one!
Stranger Things. That started on Netflix in 2016. Not sure how I had heard about it. Somebody must have told me about it. And I started watching it, and then I think I waited for my sons to come home at Christmas time so we could watch it together. So it takes place in the early 80s when it starts, and it's about a young boy vanishes and the town uncovers a mystery involving some secret experiments and supernatural forces. What's fun about it is it's just kind of reminiscent of some of the movies from the 80s like Goonies and Stand By Me. It explores the relationship of four early teenage boys and then a girl that they meet named Eleven. The acting of the young kids is fantastic. Sometimes you watch shows with younger kids and they either overact or they're not very good, but these kids are really great, really fun to watch. It's just, it's different. The same thing. It's different than anything that had been on for a while. It's a lot of fun to watch it. The characters are really fun. This one, even though it's, I wouldn't call it scary because I don't like a scary show. It's a little bit.
Yeah, I know you don't like scary stuff, and you've got Bates Motel and Stranger
Things. I know.
Back to back.
Yeah. But this is just, you know, it's kind of, sometimes you could be on the edge of your seat, but it's more, there's so much lightness and humor to it also that I guess I can watch something a little scary if it has that in it, something to lighten it up a little. But yeah, so that's had 3 seasons, and I know they're working on a 4th. Who knows when? Nobody knows when anything's coming out, but. Yeah, that's a fun one though.
So. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay, so getting back into the middle of the charts at number 5, we have.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
Mad Men. This is AMC series that aired from 2007 to 2015. Focused on a group of advertising executives in the 1960s, led by John Hamm as Don Draper. And, you know, the 1960s, America moving into the second half of the 20th century. It's a nation at a nexus and a man at a nexus. The whole series, John Draper's trying to figure out who he really is as he also delivers a vision to America of who they should be. He's a very seductive advertiser, as well as a very seductive person, and that gets him into a lot of trouble. It's probably the show with the most affairs that I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, like pretty much almost every episode, Don is sleeping with another woman who's not his wife. And I think he has 2 wives over the course of the series. He starts out married to Betty Draper, played by January Jones, and then by the end of the show, he's married to his former secretary, Megan, played by Jessica Perret. There are plenty of other women. He's a restless soul, can't quite figure out where he's supposed to be any given night. And, you know, I think that uncertainty resonates with a lot of people in any walk of life. But then there's other characters on the show who aren't so unfaithful, who are just kind of doing their things, living their lives, and trying to be the best people they can be. And things kind of turn out okay for them, and that's typified by Peggy Olson, played by Elizabeth Moss, who you've already discussed with your Handmaid's Tale selection. I think Mad Men is where most audiences discovered her. She had a very with my microphone, excuse me. Yeah, so Peggy had a tough time dealing with her boss was Don for much of the series. She had a tough time dealing with him, but her story ended sweetly. She kissed the guy who she didn't even realize she was in love with in the office. It was a very stylish show. I really liked the styles of the 60s. So it was a fun show to look at as well.
Yeah, I always wanted to start it, and I just never did. And I know your cousin Megan really liked it too, so I still plan on watching it sometime.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, it's on your bucket list, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I think we all have shows like that.
Yes, but it's daunting when it, like you said, it went, so it was almost, what, seven or more seasons?
Seven seasons, I believe, yeah.
You think, oh, geez, that's a lot to catch up on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, stop, Henry. No. Number four.
I must have been mad. I could have been an air hostess. I could have been a model. I could have moved to Paris or been a concert pianist. I could have seen the world, been brave, followed my heart. But I didn't. I sidestepped love and set off for the East End of London because I thought it would be easier. Madness was the only explanation.
Call the midwife. This show started in 2012, and it's on PBS. It's only on from March to May every year for just like eight shows. That's the whole season because it's a British show. They like to do that, I think. They just have quick seasons, which is kind of nice because you can watch it pretty quickly. And it's based on the memoirs of a woman named Jennifer Wirth. And it takes a look at midwifery in the 1950s in East End London. And I just find it fascinating. All I keep saying is my mom, your grandmother, your nanny, Ellie, would have loved this show. The nurses work hand in hand with the nuns from there's a place called Nonatus House, and they actually come and live there with the nuns. And the nuns are also nurses, too. And it's the same. I wrote down, we were talking about crying. I probably cry in almost every episode. My daughter says to me, Mommy, why do you watch that? You're always crying. Sometimes I cry because it's sad. Sometimes it's happy. I mean, it's, you know, there's some, they work with some of the situations. They don't shy away from, you know, there's some very difficult situations of them delivering babies in not so happy circumstances. They've dealt with as the time. Well, so it started in the 50s and now we're into the late 60s, I think. So it's dealt with a lot of interesting things as the times change. There were a few shows that talked about the babies, the thalidomide babies, which were babies that were born often deformed, and oh boy, those were really, they did a great job with those. You talk about the pill, I mean, just so much. It's just, I know, now I don't know if you watch it, Jeff. I know your mom and dad and Katie watch it, but.
Yeah, no, I haven't, but yeah. It's, okay. My mom, I think, sometimes calls it Call of the Midwife.
Oh, it's just Call the Midwife. But yeah, I just look forward to it every season when I know I think I text your mom and Bobby and say, guess what's starting tonight? And it's got some great fun characters too. So yeah, it's really, really well done. I love it. And then they always have a Christmas episode on Christmas Day. So that's kind of fun because you're anticipating for that, it's like, oh, that's coming up again in a few more months.
Yeah, that's a British thing too, because Doctor Who also.
Yeah, Doctor Who does that. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
All right. Moving right along, making a strong showing up on the charts at number four.
Wait, Jimmy, what?
It's all good, man.
Better Call Saul. Another AMC series started in 2015, recently wrapped up its fifth season, and it's still, I think it's going to have one more season and then wrap it up.
Yeah, I think so. This is it.
And this is a spinoff of Breaking Bad. It stars Bob Odenkirk as the titular Saul Goodman, also known as by his birth name, Jimmy McGill, or the nickname Slippin' Jimmy. And then in flash forwards, when he's working at a, what is it, Auntie Anne's, I believe. He,
not Cinnabon.
He's known as Gene Cusack. I think his name is. But yeah, so he is a lawyer with not the strongest of scruples, but he's often, he is a man of principle in some ways. He's kind of like the small guy fighting against the big system, but he's willing to bend the rules, sometimes for good reasons, but not always. Recently, we've seen him get mixed up with people involved in the illegal drug trade, and this is a prequel to Better Call Saul, so once that point in his life comes around chronologically, those are, I think, his main clients. I've seen, so in earlier seasons, Saul's older brother, or Jimmy's older brother, is played by Michael McKean, and these two characters are contrasted very clearly. Chuck is the upstanding lawyer who did everything right, went to a good school, became partner at a very respected firm. Meanwhile, Jimmy worked in the mailroom of that firm, went to an online college, and kind of didn't quite cheat his way through to getting a degree, but or getting a becoming a lawyer, but he did things that his older brother didn't approve of. And I've heard their relationship or the differences between them described as Jimmy would often do the wrong thing for the right reason, while Chuck would often do the right thing for the wrong reason. And it's kind of the conflict that's often at the heart of this show. And the other thing that we see a lot is just the hard work and the diligence that goes into being a good lawyer, which is really typified by Kim Wexler, played by Reese Ehorn, who is a friend and then love interest of Jimmy. Yeah, so those are the two main actors. Both excellent performances are given from them. And then there's also Jonathan Banks, who's also on Breaking Bad, playing his character from that show, Mike Ehrmantraut, kind of in a parallel storyline, not always interacting with the main parts with Jimmy. But yeah, so I think like this show kind of typifies a trend that I've seen in the past few years. Like before this show, we saw a lot of anti-heroes on TV. But Saul Goodman, he's not quite an anti-hero. He's not quite a good guy either. Mm-hmm. You know, he's someone who, somewhere in the middle. He often tries to do the right thing, but sometimes he's just looking out for himself. And, you know, you're just like, you're compelled to see, how's he going to break this week?
Yeah.
How's it going to go? And I love his suits. They're very colorful.
He does seem troubled a lot of what to do. But and it's also fun to see, well, people are having fun watching it, I think, because if you were a Breaking Bad fan, you want to see if you're going to see some people that were in that show or how it's going to kind of tie together. So
we're
looking forward to the last season to see if we see any more familiar faces.
Back over to you for top three.
Number three.
He wanted to meet his dad.
Why don't we go have some ice cream? Double scoop. Triple scoop.
Honey, how did you make this happen?
Double scoop.
Triple.
Great parenting.
I have 18 minutes. I'm going to spend them with my daughter.
Okay.
Julie's a lawyer.
Are you evil?
Mom.
You're ruining my life.
We can't stay here. I'm out of money.
Parenthood.
Oh, yes.
And this was from 2010, and I think it was that was on NBC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This was also based on a 1989 film, but I don't know how much the show really resembles the movie. Basically, it explores the lives of four grown-up Braverman siblings. That's their name. And just deals with the challenges of modern family life, their relationships with each other, with their children, with their parents. And the same thing, it sounds like an easy premise, but it's just so well done, so well acted. It's got, my mind just went blank, of the woman, Lauren Graham, and Dax Shepard, and what's
Peter
their
Krause.
Yeah, Peter Krause, and then the mother and I love the mom,
Bonnie Bedelia.
Bonnie Bedelia. I really like her a lot. I don't know what I've seen. I know she's been acting for a while, and I was trying to remember what I'd known her from.
I think I know her best from Die Hard, where she was.
And I didn't watch
that. Bruce Willis's wife in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She was one of the hostages at Nakatomi Plaza.
Oh, see, I wouldn't know that. And I think Parenthood was created by the same guy who created Friday Night Lights, which is one of my all-time favorite shows, which you'll see is not on my list because I did look, I'm looking at my notes from before, and that started in 2006 and ended in 2011, so I actually didn't put it on my list. Otherwise, that probably would have been my number one choice for best drama. But I felt like that wasn't really what I was watching in the 2010s as much. But it was developed by, and I can't remember his name, Peter somebody? Jason Kadams, yes. So, and he did Parenthood also, so I just like his style. And I just love it. Great show.
That, I bet that's another show that made you cry most episodes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Very much. Same type of thing. Happy and sad.
All right. Well, I think I have a pretty good idea what your top two are going to be.
Oh, okay.
What we've seen so far. But, I'd be happy to be surprised, too. But
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'll move along to the... My number three almost at the top of the charts. Number three.
This puts the future squarely in the hands of those who know computers not for what they are, but for everything they have the potential to be.
Halt and Catch Fire. Another AMC show. Third AMC show in a row.
Three in a row.
Yeah. This aired from 2014 to 2017. It was about the burgeoning tech industry in the 1980s, about a group of guys and even some girls. There were some women in that industry at that time who were kind of trying to revolutionize the world. But really, this show could have been about any industry. It was because it was really about just a group of people doing their best to move the world forward. But these people happen to be people who really love technology and making computers do cool things and getting the early internet started and making that connect people. The four main cast members were Lee Pace, Scoot McNairy, Mackenzie Davis, and Carrie Bechet. And they were all... they all played very passionate characters, and it's just rooting for all of them to be successful in the things that they decided to pursue. The fifth cast member was Toby Huss, who was a little older than all of them, and he was kind of a mentor figure to all of them. But yeah, this is, you know, it's similar to Better Call Saul in the like late 2010s shows, and still, I hope this trend is still going on. It's, you know, less about anti-heroes, more about people trying to be good. Mm-hmm. Where Better Call Saul was a guy who's not always living up to that. Halt and Catch Fire, you know, these people are mainly decent people. Like they're not perfect. They have fights with each other, but there's not really any conflict to rooting for them to get what they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to have shows like that where you don't have to be like, you know, I want to see this person succeed, ooh, but if they do succeed, that means other people will really hurt. But yeah, on this show, it means people will be connected.
Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, so it's about how partnerships form and how they break apart and then come back together, and how colleagues become friends and then they stop being colleagues and stop being friends, but then become friends again. And, you know, the high pressure of when friendships and careers interact with each other.
Yeah, I remember when I must have watched just a couple and then I didn't keep watching, and I know what I should have. The first time I saw Lee Pace was on what was the show about Pushing Daisies?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I loved him in that. So yeah, he was a good character. Is he British?
I'm not sure.
I know. For some reason, I was
thinking. He's American.
Oh, okay. It was the girl in the show was British. I know somebody was, but I do like
him. You know, I had a similar experience. I watched the first few episodes of season one and then stopped, and then I heard it got much better in subsequent seasons, and then I got back into it. I'm like, yeah, it did get much better.
Oh, okay. And how many seasons did you say it was?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would still recommend watching the whole series to anyone who wants to get into it. Because while the first season isn't as great, it looks better in retrospect once you watch the whole series.
Okay, we got two to go. So you may know what I have here. Number two, number two, number two.
Come on, Andy!
Hi, Daddy!
Hi, sweetheart! Go get the ball, hon!
Switch.
Switch. Is that a
French braid?
Aww. Yeah.
I know how complicated this delivery could get.
Well, I'm going to need everyone in this room to believe me when I say that only good things are going to happen here today. I want you to know it.
This Is Us.
Okay.
It's from 2016. Oh, I just love this show so much. This is a pep. And some of these shows that I pick, they're not about a lot, but they're just, I don't know what it is. They're so good. This is about a group of three siblings who are actually triplets and their parents. But, you know, you have to watch it from the start because basically it crosses some decades. We see flashbacks. We see present day. We see flash forwards. And just typical, I don't want to say typical, but a story about, you know, siblings there. And then once they're grown up, it shows them, you know, their relationships with their significant others, with their own children, with their parents. And the writing is fantastic and the acting. I don't even know what more to say about it because it's not a deep story, but it was very cleverly done. When you first watched it, you didn't realize you were watching like a flash. Were we seeing, I'm trying to remember at the beginning if it was a flashback or flash forward. You're seeing, I don't want to give it away in case people haven't watched it, but it's very cleverly done. And until you, I guess it takes a little while in the first show to catch on that you're seeing either a flashback or a flash forward. I can't remember. In the first episode, you mean? Yeah, the first episode.
I think you're seeing stuff in the present day as well as a flash forward or flashback.
Okay.
Of.
Yeah, and then everything kind of all comes together, and it's not once after the first season, first show episode, then you realize what's going on, and there's more of the flashbacks and flash forwards, but at first you don't realize that. And this was after we talked about Sterling K. Brown, so that after he was. I don't know if it was the same time of or after American Crime Story, but
it started the year 1 year after.
Right after, yeah. And so I hadn't. I guess I don't know if had he been acting much before he was in the.
I feel American like he Crime must Story. Have been.
I know he's such a powerful.
We hadn't seen him.
Yeah, but he plays one of the brothers, and he's such a powerful actor. He's just has so much. Charisma, and so he often gets nominated for Emmy, but I think all the actors in it are just as good. It's Mandy Moore and Milo Ventimiglia and Justin Hartley.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's got a lot of heart. Another show that they talk about, make sure you have your tissues with you as you do it. It's very, very touching. And there's been a lot of sad things in it, too. But it balances enough with happy things. But whoever write the writing of these, just their relationships, some people, I don't know, the writing is just so well done.
Mm-hmm.
Portray the siblings and their relationships. Do you watch that?
I've seen a few episodes here and there.
I think you would like that too.
Okay, so moving on back over to me. Almost at the top of the charts, coming in at number 2.
Hello!
Twin Peaks: The Return, which aired on Showtime in the summer of 2017, and this probably would have been my number one if it had had more than one season in this in the past decade. But it was a hefty season. It was 18 episodes that were an hour each. So this was a reboot of the show that originally aired on ABC back in the early 90s. It's created by David Lynch, who is famous for surreal, often inscrutable cinema and TV shows. This reboot. So the original Twin Peaks was about the investigation of a murdered teenager named Laura Palmer. An FBI agent named Dale Cooper came in to investigate, played by Kyle MacLachlan. And it was about, it was about the murder investigation. And it was also about exploring this weird northwestern town and all its kooky citizens. And also the strange things that happen. The weird things that happen when people dream. And, are there demons possessing people? Is that why the murder happened? And with this rebooted season, things only got more and more surreal. It started off with Agent Cooper like being sucked back from another dimension, banging on a glass wall. And then somehow by the end of it, it all made sense, or at least made emotional sense.
Okay, I was going to ask you. So you didn't think it was too much. I loved the original season, but I haven't watched this one. So.
Well, yeah, so I, when in the months leading up to the return debuting, I was like, I'd never seen the original Twin Peaks, but it's kind of always been on my must watch list. So, and it was on Netflix at the time. I think it still is on Netflix. So I watched the first few episodes but I didn't get around to finishing it by the time the return premiered. And I was like, I'll just jump into it. And, you know, I sometimes do that with shows, just jump into the middle of whatever season it's on. And I'll figure it out as they go along. That's not necessarily a good strategy for a show as weird as this, but I think it was weird no matter how much of the original Twin Peaks you'd seen. Okay. Like, there were a lot of moments that you'd have no idea what was going on, whether or not you'd seen anything previous. So I don't know that I would recommend this season to original fans of a former colleague of mine, he wrote a review of this Twin Peaks season, and he said there's Twin Peaks fans and there's David Lynch fans. The original Twin Peaks is among David Lynch's more accessible projects. Twin Peaks The Return is among his least accessible. But if you're willing to get into the surreal mind of a very unique person, if you can find that wavelength, it's immensely satisfying.
Okay.
It was right up my alley, and yeah, there was really nothing else like it on TV.
So let's say you have to have an open mind when you decide you're going to watch it, right? Like, to definitely just be ready for anything.
But it's got often, it's dark and weird, but it's also often goofy and silly. You know, just the scenes when Kyle MacLachlan is eating cherry pie and he's just so delighted by how delicious it is. I think everyone can enjoy those moments.
Yeah. Now, were there many of the other original characters besides
Kyle? Yeah, there were a lot of them. Yeah, a lot of people returned. If they were still alive, a few had passed away. And then there were a whole bunch of guest stars. So here, I'll list a whole bunch of the cast members. Some were returning, some were quick guest stars. So Kyle MacLachlan, Madchen Amick, Michael Cera was in one scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Robert Forster, Ashley Judd, Peggy Lipton returned. Jane Levy was in it a bit. Amanda Seyfried, Harry Dean Stanton, Russ Tamblyn, Grace Zabriskie returned.
Who?
Grace Zabriskie. She played Laura's mom.
Oh.
Laura Dern was in it. She played Diane, who we hear Agent Cooper talking to on he's always the person who he's sending messages to, and then we finally get to meet her.
Oh, okay.
In this. And, David Lynch, he plays an FBI agent himself. Jim Belushi had a memorable role. Naomi Watts was great in it as well. And
some good people.
Like 100 other people
that I didn't mention.
Nine Inch Nails shows up at one point and does a concert.
That's funny. Well, except that's another station I don't get Showtime, so I haven't. Because I probably would have watched it.
Yeah.
Okay. We are down to number one. I'm just going to mention quickly, I mentioned this to Jeff, when looking through all the shows, I noticed Jeff mentioned something when he was talking about Rectify and coming out of prison, and I said, oh, I thought of Orange is the New Black, and that was not on any of the lists that I had looked up for shows. And so unfortunately, I didn't put it on my list, but I think it would have been on my list had I, you know, I didn't remember it at the time, but that was, I'm not going to get into it, but that was a show that I did enjoy. I watched, I think there were at least 6 seasons of that, and I'm not sure what I would replace that if I put it on my list, but that was high up there. But we are to number one, number one, number one. And it'll be interesting to see if Jeff picks this.
I am not in danger, Skylar. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
My favorite show, drama, which I didn't seem like it. I would normally pick this kind of show, but it was Breaking Bad.
Okay, that was on my possible number one. Okay.
And this came out in 2008. I didn't watch it then either at the time. I watched it on Netflix after a friend of mine had said, you have to watch that, Breaking Bad. And I said to her, well, I'll watch Breaking Bad if you watch Friday Night Lights. So we did a little switch. Uh-huh. And that summer I watched the whole thing. I can't remember. What do you know what year? When was the final season?
I believe it was 2013.
Okay, so that's when I watched.
When I started grad school.
All right, I think that's when I started watching it. And because I think then the last season was either just coming out or had come out, so somewhere around then. But anyway, it's about a high school chemistry teacher, and when he discovers he's got terminal cancer and that he's not doing very well financially, and he just wants to, he's worried about, you know, when he dies, he wants to leave his family in a good situation. So he makes this desperate decision to turn an old RV that he has into a meth lab, which is quite a decision. Bryan Cranston plays the lead, and Aaron Paul plays his partner, I guess. They're the leads. But, I mean, you cannot say enough about the two of them as if they're acting. I almost look at it as like a psychological study of a man's demise after he gets a taste of power and money. I mean, you see him, you know, at the start, he just seems like kind of this meek, normal husband. And each season you see what's him turning into this horrible person. Talk, I guess this was one of the first shows where they talked about anti-hero, which is a great description of Bryan Cranston. A lot of people said, a lot of my friends too said they thought that Aaron Paul was Jesse, I forget his last name in the show.
Pinkman.
Jesse Pinkman, that he was really the heart of the show. He just seems so, he's caught up in the whole meth lab, you know, producing of meth and this whole business, but he's just seems very troubled and has more heart and guilt than Bryan Cranston does, and I just loved his character. It's just a fantastic show. It's the kind of thing when somebody, like I said, when it was recommended to me, I thought, oh, I don't know if I'll like this. It seems kind of dark. And there are I know a few people that said they started watching it and couldn't get past a couple, even right at the beginning, there's some scenes that are hard to watch. And I was like, you just got to get past it because it's just so good. I think it won plenty of Emmys for best drama at the time, and the acting was recognized, and the writing by Vince Gilligan. So it's I think it's one of the best shows that I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people believe. It's got plenty of fans, and okay. I guess I gotta match your enthusiasm. Luckily, I did pick a show that I love quite a bit. So, making its way all the way up to the top of the charts at number one for the 2010s.
What's that?
Your psychological evaluation. You're totally functional and more or less sane. Well done.
Did you just rubber stamp me?
Yes.
Hannibal.
Yeah.
This was an NBC show that aired for three seasons from 2013 to 2015, based on the novels by Thomas Harris about Hannibal Lecter, who had also been previously seen in a few movies, played by Brian Cox in Manhunter, and then by Anthony Hopkins in The Silence of the Lambs and its sequels. But here on Hannibal, he's played by Mads Mikkelsen. I hope that's close enough to pronouncing his name correctly. Yeah. He's Danish. Anyway, so he plays a version of Hannibal who has not yet been arrested. Instead, he's working as a therapist. And in his off hours, he's killing people and cutting them up into his dishes. This show is kind of like the height of food porn. It's got just some lovingly shot sequences of food being prepared and cooked. And then you realize, oh, there's some human body parts mixed in with all that. This show, it has some of the most beautiful photography on TV I've ever seen.
Wow.
And that it captures some of the most horrifying images that have ever been put on camera. And it kind of taps into, I guess I have this appetite for both beauty and darkness.
I think you do.
It didn't make me want to go out and be a serial killer, but it did make me think, geez, what does this say about myself that I find this so... There's some scenes where Hannibal's not the only serial killer on the show, and other people have cut up their victims into really intricate crime scenes, and they're displayed in just very exactingly designed ways. And I'm like, what does it say about me that I find this so satisfying to look at? What do you have an answer for that off the cuff?
I'm not sure what the part of your sense is that it is satisfying, but
well, I know it's my visual sense, but
yeah.
I think my soul can tell the difference that, you know, it's, if I want to recreate it, it should be done with prosthetics and makeup. Yeah. And
but you're saying too, you appreciate, well, like you said, the photography, the way it's shot and stuff, so you appreciate that. But
And this show was created by Brian Fuller, who was also the creator of a show you mentioned, Pushing Daisies.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other main cast member is what's his name?
He's married to, what's her name?
Claire Danes.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
God, why am I blanking?
Hugh Dancy, right?
Hugh Dancy, that's right. Hugh Dancy plays FBI Special Investigator Will Graham. And he and Hannibal kind of have a back. Hannibal becomes his therapist. And then Will realizes the truth about Hannibal and they become hunter-killer, but they also kind of fall in love with each other, even though neither of them is explicitly gay. But the show definitely leans into the possibility that they are very attracted to each other.
Yeah.
And Will's an interesting character because he's got a very visceral amount of extreme empathy. You'll see a lot of characters on TV who are somewhere on the autism spectrum. Often some of them are detectives or investigators of some sort. But Will Graham is kind of the opposite, where he can understand human emotions so well that it's a little overwhelming. And we often see glimpses into his mind. We see his process as we go into his I believe they're called memory palaces on the show, where we see him like recreating the crime scene just from the evidence that's left behind. He's just got such a intense ability to know exactly what happened from the little bits and pieces that he has to go on.
It's interesting it's on NBC too. They show a lot for a regular channel.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to believe that not only was it on TV at all, but that it was on a network channel. I think it was an international co-production with some European company. So it was like NBC didn't have to give a full financial commitment to have it be produced. But yeah, it is still rather strange that it did air on that network channel. Yeah, so I think that'll do it for our top 10 lists.
Good lists. So tell me what you predicted of.
Okay, so I'm going to hold up this to the camera. I'll let you take a look. Can you see that? There's
Americans Breaking Bad. Oh, see, Americans and I should show you this is my crossed off. Americans, Better Call Saul, and Broadchurch were on there too, but they didn't fit on there. So, you got a few of the ones that I.
I'm a little surprised Americans didn't make your.
Yeah.
I thought that or Breaking Bad were most likely for you. I'd forgotten about this and us, it's Parent and Parenthood.
And then Friday Night Lights, I did have that in parentheses.
I just thought it was too long ago. So
anyway.
Okay, so now we should
we'll go quickly into our final section, the forever section, where we look ahead at what's currently going on and what the future holds. So what dramas are we loving now, and do we think they'll be on our best of the 2020s list?
Well, I'm very optimistic because I have a lot of shows that I watch, I guess more dramas than comedy. I didn't realize I watched so many. I don't watch any of the Chicago medical shows, but I watch other medical shows like 911, The Good Doctor, The Resident, and New Amsterdam. I love all of those. I still watch This Is Us. There's two 911s now. There's a 911 and 911 Lone Star.
Mm-hmm.
A Million Little Things. I love. This summer I watched Council of Dads, which I really enjoyed. And The Handmaid's Tale. So I don't know if any of those will be. Well, I already have This Is Us on the list. Oh, and Virgin River I had down, which was a Netflix series that I just watched this spring, which I really enjoyed. And I think that has another season coming. And then this show called Tommy, which I really enjoyed, and see that was canceled. It was one season.
Uh-huh.
Edie Falco plays the first female LAPD police chief of the LAPD. And she is, I had never watched The Sopranos, so I never saw her, but boy, she's fantastic. Did you watch that at all, Tommy?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, but that's, you know, one season and done. So yeah, so I'm optimistic about, I think we tend to have more, a lot stronger, dramas both on network TV and then especially on cable, more so than the comedies. So I don't think we're going to be lacking in those. There's just so much content that's continually to come out that we and not enough time to watch all of it.
Right. Yeah, that's the other prediction to make. Like, what will we actually be able to watch, like 10% of all the good shows that come out this decade?
I know. I wonder if that's probably a good guess, about 10%. Yeah.
But I'm liking Pose, as I mentioned.
Well, yeah, that's
and nice. That made my top 10 for the 2010s, and if it continues being as good as it is, it could very well top my 2020s list. Mm. And then a couple other shows that I'm really liking right now that were created by the Robert and Michelle King, The Good Fight and Evil. You watched Evil at all?
I watched that at like two of them, and then I stopped. And I know people loved it. I was like, oh, I should have kept watching it. The only reason I stopped was because I had a lot of different shows. You know, at the beginning of the season, I'll watch a bunch, and I think I must have had too many that night, so I didn't keep watching it. I know my friend just loves that too. So you're enjoying that?
Yeah, it's it's a good mix of like, kind of grounded, but then it gets really supernatural with the religious elements.
Yeah, maybe I'll try to see if they're going to re-show that anywhere. Because I did. Yeah, I enjoyed that. What was the one you said before, Evil?
The Good Fight.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that's really good.
Cool. Yeah. I'm still on season two. Season four is the most recent season that aired, but yeah, I think it's more time to wrap up, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. We've been talking for two hours, so.
So I think next time, are we going to cover Hamilton?
Well, let's discuss it off camera.
Okay. Well, yeah. So we're not entirely sure what on our next subject will be, but I think we'll probably have a special guest, whichever topic we settle on.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And also check out my Emmy articles on jmoney.com. That's JMUNNEY.com. Aunt Beth, anything to promote or any sign off to say?
I've just started watching Burn Notice. After my son's recommendation, Rory, not Wesley. Rory,
okay.
He and his girlfriend are watching it. And so I only watched three shows so far, but I'm really enjoying it. Did you watch that one that was out?
I didn't, but it makes me think of an SNL sketch. It was a game show called What is Burn Notice?
I don't remember.
The premise
that
was like the contestants just had to identify what Burn Notice was
about.
Oh,
that was the whole game.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of fun, and it's Bruce Campbell's in it.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, yeah, that's if somebody's wanting to, it's a fun show so far. Jeffrey Donovan he's just very likable. I don't know if he's been in much else, I don't think I've seen him before, but yeah, he's, what's her name? Sharon Gless, who used to be on Cagney and Lacey from years ago, plays his mom. So, yeah, it's a new, my latest binge that I'm watching, but nothing else to promote.
Okay. Do you want to sign off for us?
Yeah, so I will say good night to everybody. We'll see you next time.
Okay, and I will say, as I usually do, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.